what triggered this bizarre behavior.
Journey into the cold heart of Northern Darkness with Nordic Crimes.
That case became like a scene from a horror movie.
A new true crime documentary series that chilled the bone.
The hunger for killing is increasing in the course of these homicides.
Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Nordic Crimes is a part of the Acast family.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, and welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name's Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Jeremy Cain and his brother Zach have been incarcerated in Alabama since they were 15 and 16. Now, in their late 30s, they've missed out on a hell of a lot of life. Prom, university, parties, birthdays, Christmases, New Year's, and of course, relationships. Although, for Jeremy Cain, he has found some happiness in an otherwise bleak situation. For those of you that have listened to the story of the Cain brothers, you would have heard me talking to and about Jeremy's wife, Amanda. And many people have asked me about their story. How did they meet? Did they know each other before Jeremy went away? So I spoke with Jeremy and asked him. How did you guys meet, you and your wife?
In 2012 maybe. I'm not sure the exact, is it 11 or 12? I was at another prison, a level 4 facility, and there was a guy there that we had visitation at the same time, and his sister was coming down, and she was friends with her, and they rode down together, and I met her at a visitation, and we started talking some, and then that started from there, and we talked, and now it's 12 years later, I guess.
Wow, that's amazing. So it was just a random, she was randomly in the visitor's room and you just started talking to her.
Well, the guy that she was riding with, his sister, I mean, we were kind of friends. We, you know, knew each other and stuff. So we'd sit at the same table sometimes and my family and his family, whatever, might sit at the same visitation table and talk and stuff like that. And she was sitting there and, I mean, she had came to several visits and stuff. I guess he had told her some stuff about me or whatever and she was interested. We talked on what really wasn't on a whole lot of the visit and stuff. And then back then, I mean, I had cell phones and stuff. I was on Facebook and that kind of thing. And she messaged me on there and we started talking and we just started talking.
It fascinating because, you know, obviously we know your story. But for most people, they just find out that you're in there for murder. Like you're in there for murder and you've got a 35-year sentence. So, you know, I find it fascinating that people can be more open-minded and not just go, oh, God, that guy's in there for murder. I'm not talking to him.
Right. And, on the outside looking in, I think a lot of people like probably think she'd be crazy. But like, we visited and, you know, seen me in person and, you know, got to know him a little bit through visitation and talked to my family and and everything. So hearing kind of my story and opening mind to actually look into it herself and see that I'm not, I mean, I didn't just murder somebody, you know, and there are a lot of people in prison that did just murder somebody. You know, everybody, you know, stuff is different. You know, and I tell her, you know, I mean, and tell most people, I would recommend someone meeting and talking to someone from prison. There are some good people in here, but I would say 90% really aren't that good. I mean, there's a small percentage that are decent people and just got in a bad situation. And there's a lot of people in here that's good in here, but they get back out of here and they get back on drugs and, you know, see a whole different side of them and they're brought back in prison. I mean, I've seen several people that's been in and out of prison. I don't know. When I first got locked up, there was a guy I seen come back and forth 5 times in 5 years.
Wow.
And I just made me sick. Like, I can't even get out one time. You can just get out over and over and over again. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the short version of how we bet.
Now, just as a heads up, I spoke with Amanda about this just recently after the first episode went out and before the story had gained traction from the community. I was talking to Jeremy the other day about how you guys met.
It's wild.
Yeah. It is.
I mean,
wild.
I never envisioned this would be my life, but yeah, when I moved down to Alabama, I was visiting my friend's brother with her and met Jeremy on the visitation yard, and the rest is history.
But it's pretty crazy, really. I mean, you know, I think a lot of people couldn't even fathom getting into a relationship with someone who's incarcerated, first of all, let alone, you know, then getting married. And you're also married to a guy who's could be in prison for quite some time.
Yes. I think for me, originally kind of talking, it was an outlet for both of us. Something different, you know, get to know you. He was funny. And we talked, and we just talked a lot. And I learned about his case, and I learned about the type of person that he was. And it was flabbergasting to me that he was where he was due to the circumstances and these small town, you know, I'm from a big city, so I'm from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And just the small town, crooked Southern politics was crazy to me that they could do this to these kids. And of course I questioned, was he lying to me? And the more I learned and got involved with his parents and went over transcripts and recordings and this and that, I was like, well, there's a conflict. And it was crazy. And so the more I learned, like, he was just not this bad person, and he deserved somebody too. You know, we got along, we never argue, and it was just a sacrifice that I made, and you can't really help who you fall in love with. And
some would say it's probably the best relationship you can have, because you're not, as you said, that you don't argue, but I mean, obviously you don't live together, so you're not under each other's feet all the time, and, you know, he's not leaving the toilet seat up or not packing the dishwasher incorrectly or irritating you in those everyday scenarios that happen in my house. But
yes, and I actually tell people that. I'm like, I don't, you know, when he does come home, that's going to be a big adjustment.
Yeah.
For both of us, because he's used to being around people all the time, and I'm not. Yeah. So just to have somebody in my space is like, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Minutes.
You got married as well, which is, you know, I mean, that's a lot of people, again, will see that as a huge step because, you know, you do have a very long sentence and there's no guarantees for you when it comes to your release, you know, so there's always that sort of hanging over your heads, really.
Yeah, we got married 2 years ago, so we've been, I'd say, together 12 years and married two. So it took a long time before we decided to go that route because, I mean, initially when I first started talking to her, I always told her, like, you know, having someone, a female companion out there, sometimes it's easier and sometimes it's harder.
Yeah, absolutely.
So initially when we started talking, I kept telling her, like, I'm not trying to have a serious relationship because I feel like at some point you're going to be gone because I can't give you, you know, everything that you need because I'm in here. You know, so I kept figuring, you know, a year, 2 years went by, 3 years went by, and then, you know, so you know, I always had in the back of my mind, like, eventually she's probably going to leave. But luckily that, you know, it never panned out. And, you know, with most people, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
Because I had met several people before we met that had come and seen me and stuff in here and people that I knew from home before and then other people I'd met online and stuff and that kind of thing. And it lasts, you know, 3-4 months, 6 months, a year, and then they move on. So that's pretty much what I expected. And I try not to get, you know, at that time when I get too attached. So, you know, it makes it very difficult when those things go south.
Yeah, and of course.
So I just tried to avoid that.
What was your family's reaction when you told them that you were talking with a guy who's in prison?
Well, we actually kept it a secret for a really long time from my family. Mm. And then some things happened and we let them know. And my mother came around. My grandmother's not super fond of it, but she's 90, so she's kind of old school, and which rightfully so. I mean, if my daughter decided that she wanted to date a guy in prison, I'd be skeptical too. So I'm trying to really get my mom up to speed on kind of what had happened, and my grandma's really not interested, and I don't really have a relationship with my dad. So,
okay. What about friends and that when you tell them, or people that, you know? Because obviously you guys are married. People you meet and it's like, you know, do they say, oh, you know, where's your husband?
They do, and it's kind of taken me a while to just kind of freely talk about it. Most of the time I just kind of suppressed it and didn't really talk about it. Or before we got married, I'll be in a relationship, maybe one day, and then it just, here it all is. And it was kind of a big weight lifted off of my shoulders. Most of the people were pretty accepting. They probably were whispering behind my back, but
yeah, well, who cares?
I mean, but most of them were pretty accepting to the situation, especially when I discussed the actual details of the case.
Yeah.
They're definitely more understanding.
Yeah. That would be the hard thing in just day-to-day life, you know. People are so judgmental, and especially with people in prison, you know. And I used to be the same before I started this. I was just like, well, if you're in prison, you're in there because you did something wrong, and, you know, that's that. So for you to just say, well, you know, my husband's, yeah, he's in prison, there's an instant judgment from people before they sort of know the details. And it can be hard. It can be hard in those situations to go, okay, so my husband's in prison for murder, but just hear me out and let me explain the situation. And then, you know, he's not a bad man. He didn't do it. You know, it's like, oh,
yes.
Yeah,
and
right.
And then you get, well, that's what they all say. And so, I mean, it's definitely a fight. You know, it's a choice that I made and
it's your life, and who cares what anyone else thinks.
Yeah, and it hasn't been easy, but it's just kind of one of those things that he's worth it to me. So,
So how often do you get to see each other?
Well, since COVID, it's gotten really difficult. We don't get to see each other but once a month for a couple of hours. Now, prior to COVID, it was twice a month for about 4 to 5 hours, and they haven't, ever since they took our visits away, because we didn't have any visitation for like a little over a year. And then when he started it back, it was very limited, and it was like, they have these little glass dividers they'd want you to sit behind, and you couldn't touch each other and that kind of stuff. And most, you know, the business I had prior to that, it was, we're sitting at a table face to face, you give each other a hug, hold hands, that kind of thing. And then, he said after COVID, it just got worse. And in Alabama, they've been looking for an excuse or a way to get rid of visitation for forever. And then when that happened, it kind of just gave them an excuse. And then when they started it back, it's very limited. Like where I'm at now, they're so strict. They're only allowed only like two visitors at a time. And used to, it would be up four adults and four children at a time, so you get up to eight people. And now it's only two, so it makes it very difficult. And then they've transferred me about 3.5 hours from home, so that's made it more difficult for my wife. I had to travel that far for a two-hour visit. I have to leave at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and it would be visitations at 8:30, and then have to turn around after that and drive back 3 or 4 hours, you know, back the other direction.
Yeah.
So I'm actually currently trying to get transferred back closer to home. They transferred me to this facility because they needed someone to drive a van. They don't just let anybody drive vans. I mean, you have a driver's license, that's still only going to let you drive. If they don't think you're trustworthy, or you haven't been out of trouble, or if you're too young, they don't like a lot of younger drivers, you know, people in their 20s, really, because they're just usually more susceptible to allow people to sway them to do something they don't need to do.
I've heard this post-COVID visitation thing from actually a few different facilities. There's a guy I talked with in Michigan, and he said the same thing, that obviously when COVID hit, there was no visitations, and then they sort of brought them back slightly, but he said they have not returned to what they were pre-COVID, and he said it's purely just an excuse to not bring it back, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're doing, because at this facility I'm at here, like everybody here, well, not everybody, but the majority of people here go out to work every single day. And you're around people, and then, you know, there's also the level that I'm at. I'm in minimum, but they have another level slightly lower than me. It's minimum community. And what they are allowed to do when they have a job for a certain period of time and stuff, they get home passes. So they get to go home for, starts out 4 hours every weekend, and then it goes to 8 hours. And then after they do that so many times, they get 36 hours every other weekend. They get to go home, you know, 36 hours. So it's like 8 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, come back 8 o'clock at night, Sunday night. And then every 90 days, they get to go home for 72 hours. So they've gotten theirs back up fully going, but the rest of us, we're still stuck with a two-hour crappy visit.
Could you ever get that, or because of your charge, you'd never get that?
No, due to my charge, it's kind of ridiculous. I could take all of them to work, and even at the facility I was at before I came here, I worked the same job on a college campus for 3 years. And there was three work police guys working there. It's about 20 other guys that were in the level I'm in. And I'm working the exact same job as they are, but they're getting paid like $9 an hour, and I would get $2 a day. It is the exact same job, but since my custody is slightly different than theirs, I can't get the $9 an hour just because of my charge. But with my charge, you could go to work at least back in the 90s. But then an incident happened where someone, I believe, was at a work release and killed someone. But the person that did it didn't have a violent charge. But when that happened, everybody with a violent charge automatically got their custody changed. And then it slowly started changing back. And pretty much every charge other than murder, if you have a sex crime, you can come to the level that I'm at, period. And then murder, anything with the word murder in the nomenclature, whether it's attempted murder, or manslaughter, or vehicular murder, you can't make work release. But every other charge, robbery, assault, every degree of those, first degree, second degree, whatever, they can all go to work. But I do feel like, you know, and currently the women in Alabama, if they have a murder charge, they can go to work release, but the men cannot. I feel like that may change again at some point if all something drastic happens, but as of right now, it hasn't changed.
There's absolutely no doubt at all that life for incarcerated people is tough. Even tougher if you are innocent of a crime that you've been convicted of. For a lot of the men and women I speak with, their case consumes them. Apart from taking on a job at the prison, they spend their days and evenings reading law books, trial transcripts, legal briefs, case studies. The list is endless. Anything that could help them and their case. But in some situations, being a partner on the outside can be just as tough, if not more so. You have all of the same stresses. You're doing all of the same reading and research, sometimes even more, as you have access to the internet, which your partner wouldn't. But on top of that, you also have day-to-day life. Work, bills, family, friends, and of course, a person in prison who is extremely dependent on you. Not only for the emotional support, but of course, the physical support of doing things that they can't from inside the prison. So I asked Amanda how she's coping with everything. So, I mean, how are you going, like, day to day? Because, you know, it's a big thing to sort of take on when you've got a life and outside of the prison, but you've also got this guy, you know, who's your husband now, who's in prison and he's fighting to get out. And I'm sure you on a regular basis finding, you know, avenues to help him with that. It's almost a full-time job. I speak to another lady who met a gentleman who I speak with in prison. His name's Temujin Kenzu, and she has a full-time job and dogs and a life outside, but also when she's not working, she's working on trying to get him out of prison. It's a full-time job in itself.
It is. So he kind of is the brains behind the operation, but I do have a full-time job and dogs, and it's just... It can be overwhelming sometimes, and sometimes you don't feel appreciated, like he understands what's going on out here and all the responsibilities that come with living in the free world, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that gets a little bit frustrating, but pretty much, I mean, we just always kind of talk it through of what he wants done or how he wants something done or what can we do. And I mean, it's a constant thing on our minds.
Yeah.
Who we can talk to, what can we do? I just feel like now we don't know what to do. I mean, nobody seems to be willing to help. So I'm really hoping that this podcast, and thank you for taking this on, can kind of get the truth out there, because you know, I wasn't around in the beginning when they were going to trial and that, and they were told to just stay quiet, stay quiet, stay quiet. And that's what they did. And I think it kind of bit them, but they didn't know no one knew any better. That's what their legal advice was telling them to do.
And look, I hear that so much. And, you know, I've said this to you before, you know, it is always the case of, you know, the person on trial is told to be quiet and say nothing. And it's a lose-lose situation really, because, you know, you sit there, say nothing, they'll say that, oh, this person showed no more emotion, they're a, you know, cold-blooded killer, or if you get angry because someone's up on the stand because they're saying something that's not true, then you, oh, look, there's that temper, there you go, you can see how they could snap. So you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. It's a tough, tough situation, that's for sure.
You have 1 minute remaining.
As mentioned in our previous episodes, there is now a Facebook page dedicated to helping the Cain brothers with their bid for freedom, the link to which can be found in the show notes of this episode. 1 Minute Remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of Earsay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.